It was the great philosopher Mike Tyson who said, "Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth." He might be better known for biting off people's ears than making profound statements, but I think he's got a point. As a boxer, he was talking about life in the ring, but the Christian life is similar. It's easy being a Christian surrounded by like-minded people. It's easy to serve at church when the work is fruitful. It's easy to live for Jesus in the workplace when people are politely interested. It's easy until something goes wrong. Until things don't pan out as you expected. Until, as literally happens to Paul in our reading, you get punched in the mouth. You might be sitting here tonight knowing that feeling. Struggles that overwhelm you. Disappointments that run deep. And you find yourself thinking, is God really in control? Can I really trust him? Is this really the best plan for my life? And if you aren't feeling like that, I would advise you prepare for a day when you might. For as Giles has often reminded us, in the Christian life, the first 50 years are the hardest. In this broken and often hostile world, the Christian is not guaranteed a walk in the park. So, in a life of struggles, disappointments, and unexpected suffering, when we often feel like we've been punched in the mouth, how are we going to keep going? When life is tough, what will keep us trusting in Jesus? What will keep us faithful to God? Well, I hope that tonight's chunk of Paul's story in Acts brings some encouragement. Paul's situation is very similar. He was told shortly after his conversion, way back in chapter 9, verse 15, that he would be the one to take the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles, those who weren't Jewish, and even to their rulers, those who governed Rome. He has a plan to get to Rome, and he has a promise from God that he's going to get there. And yet in these few chapters, his life seems so far from both. I have 2 points. The servant who is faithful to his God, and the God who is faithful to his servant. The servant who is faithful to his God, and the God who is faithful to his servant. And I'll make these points by 2 scans through the story, so bear with me. First, the servant is faithful to his God. Now, in the last few chapters, Paul has escaped a plot by some Jews to kill him, headed to Jerusalem despite the warning of opposition, brought news reports to believers in Jerusalem, been beaten up by an angry mob, arrested by Romans, and preached again to the same mob that just tried to kill him. And we pick up the story just after that sermon. Paul's outlined his Jewish background, retold the story of how he became a follower of Jesus, and in his closing point, he mentions taking the message to the Gentiles. And if you look down in chapter 22, verse 22, the crowd listened until he mentioned the Gentiles. Now again, they want to kill him, or in their not so subtle words, rid the earth of him. Again, the Romans step in. This time, in verse 24, they take him off to their barracks to see if flogging him will get him to explain why he keeps causing riots. What is Paul going to do? He finally seemed to be making progress. He'd been saved from the crowd, and now he's in custody, about to be whipped. Not exactly the trip to Rome that he was planning. He explains that he's a Roman citizen, which causes alarm amongst those who have bound him, for it is illegal for a Roman citizen to be flogged without charge. So in chapter 22, verse 29, the danger of a flogging is averted. Instead, in verse 30, Paul is going to have to stand before the Jewish court, the Sanhedrin, the leaders of that mob that wanted to rid the earth of him and stop him preaching about Jesus to the Gentiles. Again, hardly what Paul would have had in mind when he made his plan to visit Jerusalem and then move on to Rome. Well, he goes to the courts of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and answers their questions. He gets knocked about a bit by them, but causes an argument, as a result of which the trial falls apart. And in chapter 23, verse 10, again, the Romans whisk Paul away. He is taken by force back to the barracks again. Probably not what Paul was hoping for. How is he going to get to Rome? But in verse 11 of chapter 23, we see God again tells Paul that this is what's going to happen. But how? It all looks like it's going wrong. Well, it turns out that the solution is another attempt on Paul's life. That's right. In verses 12 to 15, we see that some Jews plan to kill Paul. So how is Paul getting to Rome? Well, apparently not on that £35 flight from EasyJet. In verse 33, Paul is moved by the Romans to Caesarea to be kept safe by the governor Felix. He's put under Roman guard again and waits for his friends from the Sanhedrin. Well, they're going to face each other in court again. The trial ends, but Paul is not set free. He is again held up in prison. He's a little higher up the food chain, but he's not any closer to Rome. In chapter 24, verse 27, we see that Paul is held in prison for 2 years and occasionally wheeled out to entertain Felix. From chapter 22 to chapter 24, Paul's life is a mess. Time and again, sometimes literally, he gets punched in the mouth. And yet Paul remains the servant who is faithful to his God. He keeps doing what he's been told by God to do. He keeps preaching about Jesus and the resurrection to come, no matter what happens, where he finds himself, or who happens to be there. Before the Sanhedrin in chapter 23, verse 1, he explains he has fulfilled his duty before God. He explains in verse 6 that his hope is in the resurrection. Well, the Pharisees and the Sadducees disagreed about this, but Paul knows his life has been turned upside down by meeting the resurrected Jesus. The Jesus who he thought had been stopped by the cruel Roman cross. He appeared to Paul back in chapter 9. And now, wherever he finds himself, he proclaims the truth about the resurrection. The servant is faithful to his God. When, in chapter 24, he finds himself on trial before Felix, he again repeats in verse 15 that his hope is in the resurrection. The judgment of the wicked and the righteous. Do you notice in that verse, verse 15? It's hope. He is not scared, for he knows that because Jesus died for the sin of those who follow him, he will be found righteous at the day of resurrection. His hope, even when on trial before non-Christians, is the hope of the resurrection. The servant is faithful to his God. Finally, Paul is brought before Felix, not in court, but informally. Even so, Paul, in chapter 24, verse 24, presents the gospel. In verse 26, we see that this is a situation where a bribe might have been a way out, a fast track to Rome. But even so, Paul remains faithful. Look at verse 24. He explains that being a Christian is having faith in Jesus. In verse 25, he explains that Jesus is God's chosen king, That's what it means for him to be Christ. He tells Felix that he will be judged according to his righteousness and self-control. Because, remember what he said in court, there will be a resurrection. Now, we often struggle to say some of those things to our friends. But to say those things to a man who history tells us has stolen someone else's wife, was a terrible tyrant, and currently has you in prison, is no small thing. Paul is a servant faithful to his God. He is battered. It seems like his mission is derailed, but he stands firm. But remember, Paul was not a superhero. Yes, Paul was unique, and his mission was unique. But the hope that keeps him faithful is the same hope that we have as Christians today. Yes, in chapter 9, Paul was given a specific promise by God that he's heading to Rome. Yes, in chapter 23, God graciously speaks directly to Paul. But ultimately, his hope is not in this. It's in the gospel promises of God. There's going to be a resurrection. There is future hope. He is forgiven. The wicked will be judged. Whatever happens in this life, it's momentary compared to eternity with his Saviour. So when do you feel battered? When you fail again? When you sin again? When, because of Jesus, you are laughed at, or maybe even ignored by friends, colleagues, family? When the baby just keeps crying in the night? When work is still exhausting and increasingly stressful? When ministry is still unfruitful and help wanes? When, later in life than you expected, you're still single? When, despite better quiet time routines, regular and faithful prayer life, still nothing seems to get any better? You feel like you've been punched in the mouth. Well, remember as Paul did. Remember that there will be a resurrection. Remember that whilst things this side of heaven may never get any better, they will be perfect once we're there. Remember that whilst my first point is the servant is faithful to his God, he can only be faithful because of my second point. God is faithful to his servant. It looks like there are obstacles stopping what God has promised. But because he is in control of it all, he is faithful. His promises will be fulfilled. Let's back it up to chapter 22, verse 24. The Romans take Paul into their barracks to flog him until he explains all the arguments. But before Paul is subject to leather and bone, tearing the skin off his back, something he's experienced before, he raises the matter of his citizenship. And here we see the first evidence of God's faithfulness. In verse 25 to 29, we see that Paul was born a citizen of Rome, which makes the flogging illegal, as no charge has been brought against him. Well, God decided where Paul would be born. God decided who Paul's parents would be. God planned that Paul would be held by this Roman officer, who on this day decides to uphold the law that he should keep. God is faithful to his servant, this time saving him from a familiar flogging. Verse 30, Paul's ordeal continues the next day, as the Romans wheel him out to the Sanhedrin. Again, we see God's faithfulness to his servant. Again, we see God is faithful because he's in control. The court is made up of two groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they fundamentally disagree about the resurrection, the very thing that Paul is confident in. His life, remember, has been turned upside down by meeting the resurrected Jesus. He expresses his gospel faith in these terms in verse 6 of 23. And this brings chaos to the court. God's faithfulness to his servant is shown again. The court of the Jews, which threatens Paul and God's mission, collapses in on itself because of the very message that God gave Paul to preach. In verse 10, we see again that the Roman soldiers whisk Paul away to safety before the crowd tear him to pieces. In verse 11, Paul is then comforted by God. God is faithful to his servant. God is in control. The crowd couldn't stop him. The Romans couldn't stop him. The Jewish rulers couldn't stop him. God is faithful to his servant. And it looks, for a little while, like Paul is safe. But remember, some Jews have some other ideas. Look in verses 12 to 15 of chapter 23. They plot to kill Paul. And they promise not to eat or drink until they do. Well, I guess they got pretty hungry and pretty thirsty. As again, God's faithfulness is seen. This time, through Paul's nephew, the rescue comes. We know nothing more about this man than what we read in verses 16 to 22. That he hears the plot to kill Paul, and he repeats it to Paul, and then he reports it to the Roman governor, commander. Through various ways, and through many means, God is faithful to his servant. In verses 23 to 25, we see that Paul is going to be sent to governor, to the governor Felix, with an entourage that would make Justin Bieber look like a nobody. 475 Roman soldiers. So along with a letter explaining why he's been brought, Paul is delivered to Felix. And yet again, we see God is in control and his faithfulness to his servant. In verse 34, it is because Paul is from Cilicia that Felix is willing to hear his case. At the beginning of chapter 24, we see that the Jews who Paul has stood before in Jerusalem turn up. This time, with a smooth-talking lawyer, Tertullus. And in verses 2 and 4 of chapter 24, he tries buttering up Felix. And then he presents peace to him. He claims that their case has 3 points. Paul's been stirring up riots. He's the leader of an illegal sect. He tried to pollute the Jewish temple. Well, Paul just calmly responds to each point. The court is adjourned. It seems that Felix is unsure what to do. So he puts off making a decision. He says he'll wait till Lysias turns up. God's faithfulness to Paul continues. He's protected by the Romans again, and this time he's even allowed to see his friends. Lysias, it seems, never turns up, and Paul is still in prison at the end of chapter 24, when, after 2 years, Felix is succeeded by Festus. So at every twist and turn in this dangerous season of Paul's life, God is faithful to his servant. God has worked through various ways and means to bring Paul a step closer to the king of the Gentiles, the rulers of Rome. He started in Jerusalem before the Jews, and he's found himself in Caesarea under Roman guard, occasionally brought before a governor to preach. It's comforting, isn't it? In all the seeming chaos, Paul, to use Mike Tyson's expression, keeps getting punched in the mouth. But there aren't any accidents. God is never caught on the back foot. He is never surprised. God is faithful to his servant. At each and every twist and turn, he is in control. And what confidence that gives us as we follow Jesus. It isn't the promise of an easy life. Paul is nearly beaten to death throughout the book of Acts. Here and elsewhere, he is bound and thrown in prison time and time again. He is hated by those who were once impressed by him. He is mocked and insulted. But he knows that God is faithful. Do not worry. Do not fear. Be courageous. These are commands we find throughout the Bible. How are we to live like that? Trust in the faithfulness of God. Remember the hope of the resurrection. Do you see how remembering that truth will affect us? How it will keep us going? As Paul is bound and imprisoned, he knows that one day he will be set free and he will enjoy God forever. As he faces various courts and trials, he knows that one day God will stand as judge and he will be found innocent in Jesus. For all Paul has ever done wrong has been wiped away at the cross. As Paul's body is battered, broken, and in pain, he knows that one day he will be raised with a perfect new body. As his plans seem crushed, he knows that God's plans never fail. The resurrection and all its restoring power do not depend on Paul, but on God. The God who, as he promised in chapter 9, is taking Paul to Rome. The same God whose promises we can trust, for we know that he is the one who raised Jesus. So we will be raised as he was. Because God is faithful to his servants, his servants can be faithful to him.